This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Gary Gooden. Gary is the Chief Technology Officer at the Seattle Children's Hospital. The Seattle Children's Hospital is a remarkable, remarkable institution. Thrilled to have Gary joining us today. Gary, can we start by asking you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Seattle Children's Hospital?
Certainly, and thanks for having me, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. So as Scott said, I'm the CTSO for Seattle Children's. I'm the Chief Technology Officer and Chief Cybersecurity Officer for Seattle Children's. Seattle Children's is a multi-state health system based in Seattle, Washington. We service the states of Washington, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. And as such, we're one of the largest pediatric clinical and research operations in the country. We have roughly 14,000 end users within the environment, and a fairly complex environment, as you can imagine, in a large healthcare system. And yes, pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And take a moment. You're in the backyard of some of the greatest technology companies in the world, the Microsofts, the Amazons of the world. How does that impact care delivery, how people think about technology in your neighborhood? Does that have an impact? Is every parent, you know, so familiar with everything in technology that they expect certain things in the health system that they might not expect elsewhere? What do you see? What influence does that have?
It doesn't really have an impact on the operational tail of the organization. The only area where I've seen an impact is where we might have to compete with Amazon or with a Google relative to the acquisition of resources, you know, hiring a certain type of engineer, that person may feel more obliged to go and work for Microsoft or say Amazon, as they would say for Seattle Children's. So it's more about the accessibility, the skilled labor within the technology industry, which is probably the challenge that we tend to face, but certainly the fact that we are in a high tech neighborhood, so to speak, tends to give us access to have probably different types of conversations with the likes of a Microsoft, with the likes of an Amazon than another entity that wasn't within this environment. So it's actually, I see this actual positive thing, but like I said, the only thing that I've actually seen is potential issues when trying to go after technical resources in an industry that's already starved for technical resources, especially on the security side.
But that's a fascinating perspective, that really the issue is not people asking for better technology or other issues. It's more just the hunt and the challenge of hiring in an area that's very competitive for great technology talent. Talk about for a second, as you look at the role of Chief Technology and Experience Officer, what are some of the things you're looking at now in terms of what are the big priorities you're looking at?
So I joined Seattle Children's back in March of 2019. And one of the things I set about was trying to address three issues around technology, people, and process. And so I've been on a technology drive for the past 2 years to uplift the environment from a cybersecurity perspective and more recently from an infrastructure perspective. And the reason why my role is a co-joint role between the CTO and the CISO is because we've been on a zero trust journey for the past year and a half. And the idea is that you use security controls as a way to provide innovation, meaning if you design your infrastructure with security in mind, then you're probably going to be in a better position to provide your clinical partners and your research partners with the wherewithal for them to work with a better end user experience and certainly be able to deliver on the mission of hope, care, and cure for, you know, sick kids in the pediatric space. That being said, we also run within our practice an active cyber physical team. So we're responsible for the technical infrastructure relative to physical security controls, access control systems, camera systems, et cetera, et cetera. And the same is true of construction. We have an IT construction team. Why? Because Seattle Children's does a lot of construction, and therefore things like new network designs, software-defined networking as a precursor to micro-segmentation is an important component of that zero trust journey. We are a fairly robust identity and access management shop. So we're about 60% automated from a rule-based access control. So the whole idea of entitlements and entity-based security as a key driver for zero trust is also of paramount importance. The whole move to a remote work environment as a result of the pandemic of last year really pushed us in a direction of accelerating the task of looking at alternate connectivity means where you had security controls and security attestation built into the way in which you connect. So we've been looking at remote work. We have a hybridized workforce, some on-prem, some off-prem. We have a permanent on-prem workforce, as you can imagine. And then we have a subset of the population that are 100% remote. They never come to our facilities. We hire from out of state. We ship devices ready for them to go. And all these different permutations relative to the network edge being a home router introduced a whole new measure of risk. So zero trust network access is something that we're heavily involved in. Elevated credentialing, removal of local admin controls and endpoints, and just looking at the journey of data from point A to point B and how you traverse between point A and point B are things that we've been heavily invested in. So now we're simply maturing the technology stack, not just from, again, security perspective, but the infrastructure perspective in support of ensuring that the environment is as secure as possible and not be seen as a practice which is introducing friction, but it's really security with less friction, if that makes sense.
100%. No, how do you add security without making it more difficult for people to get the information they need to do their jobs, everything else? There's always a bit of a trade-off in trying to avoid there being a trade-off, so security's not getting in the way with access to information, operability, and everything else.
Correct. So that's why we do all of the attestation behind the scenes, and it's really more about cloud security controls as a way for people to connect remotely. So they don't really have to interact with all of the attestation work that's going on behind the scenes between the different technology stacks. It's all been orchestrated for them. They just need to get on with their work, you know, wherever they might be, at home, in the office, in a coffee shop, in a hotel room, in an airport. It shouldn't really matter, but that experience should be the same. And that's the North Star.
But your point on trying to make it as seamless and easy as possible is so important. And, you know, it's so interesting to say that is people are part of different organizations. They see those different organizations getting better and better at this, making it work mobile in a way that 5 years ago would have been so many different approvals, so many different in your face, so many different challenges. And now just trying to make it easier and easier, but maintaining security while doing so. It's such an interesting point. Talk a little bit more about security and technology. What advice would you give to other emerging leaders in the field? What would you tell somebody who's, you know, trying to become a leader, a chief technology officer, chief security officer? What advice do you give somebody who's stepping into those roles?
I think the first thing I'd tell them is to be humble, to listen more than they speak initially, understand what the risk appetite is within the environment, if it's security. If it's on the technology side, understand where the barriers are to innovation. Understand the culture of the environment, you know, it's not uncommon to go into an environment where you have siloed towers of excellence. You might have, you know, your networking team is very much disconnected from your server infrastructure team, which is very disconnected from, say, for example, your virtualized team, if you have one, from your desktop team, definitely from your security team. Those are all cultural affectations of maybe historical issues. And, you know, when people get up to go to work, the idea is that they want to go in and do a good job, whether it's remotely or on premises. So if you have a situation where I've seen in many instances potential areas of weak leadership, people just find ways of adapting and getting on with it. And over time, you build up these silos. So understand the culture, you know, try to find a way to flatten out and cut across the silos, bring them together, try to find a way to bring folks into the conversation around strategic planning, strategic thinking, and just optimize the spend relative to the technology stack, knowing fully well that, you know, every single vendor is out there trying to make their base commission and, you know, trying to sell good products at the same time, but they have different drivers from you. So you have to understand who your audience is, understand why you're working in that particular environment. So you should have a keen understanding of the mission and then go about fostering a situation where your C-suite will actually listen to you. So if you're an executive who comes in and you don't follow the kind of advice that I'm laying out, then you might find yourself in a position where the people who should actually be listening to you don't listen to you. And now you find yourself in a situation where you're trying to push a rock up a hill. So having your C-suite buy off on your idea, your strategic vision, having the board buy off on your ideas, your strategic visions are not only important, they're critical, not just to your existence, but to the program that you're trying to build. So it's a combination of having some sort of technical moxie, but you should also have the wherewithal to be able to interact and engage with people at a human level. And to, I would say, to ultimately lead with what I refer to as leading with empathy. That would be my advice.
This concept of, Gary, humility in technical roles, empathy in technical roles. And it's not that you're in a technical role, but you're a leader in a highly technical area. I mean, this is so important because if you're doing anything right in your job, there are a lot of people that are brighter than you around you or better at what they do. Like if you're hiring software engineers or data people or analytics people, there better be people in the room that are brighter than the person who's hiring them, or you're not going to build a very great group or at least better at what they do.
Correct.
And if you don't bring that humility to it and understand this is not a top-down leadership concept, this is influence and try and persuade and try and move things in the right direction, try and align. It's not, I know your stuff better than you do, because it's almost impossible. You can't. And so you better bring humility. And I've never heard somebody say it probably as well as you just said it, Gary. So I appreciate that very, very much. That humility, the empathy, the listening. And as things get harder and more technical and you're surrounded by brighter and brighter people, I guess either way, so, so important. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Gary, I want to thank you for joining us. Seattle Children's Hospital Health System, a magnificent institution. We just had a chance to visit with another colleague that's at Seattle Children's, a wonderful person. And thank you, Gary, for taking the time with us today. What a pleasure to hear your thoughts on this and what you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.